your favorite character is going to die. Let me just give you a spoiler. That favorite character of yours is going to die. Hey, wagwan, wagwan, what's up, what's up? Welcome to another amazing episode of the Unspoken Podcast. I'm on a roll today. I don't know why, but I'm on a roll. I don't know. It's crazy because it's a Monday, which is weird. But anyway, welcome to another amazing episode of the Unspoken Podcast. My name is Awino Awiti, the host of this amazing podcast. And this is episode 148. Honestly, I only have one episode left in me, and then we call this year quits. We call it a wrap, man, because I'm exhausted. Let's just end this year already, man. I'm so exhausted, but welcome to this episode. So from the title, you can tell this is a special episode. If you're an avid listener of this podcast, you remember last year I did an episode similar to this where I gave you guys a list of shows that changed my life. That was a general of all the shows I've watched. Those are the shows that, yeah, I watched them and, man, they inspired me. That was last year. So I decided this year that why not make that a thing? So because I love watching movies. I love watching shows. I love just watching TV. One thing about me, I can just sit up the whole night and just binge watch. If I find a good show, life literally makes sense. I just shut off the world and I just indulge myself in that show. That's me. So I've decided I'll be doing this every year. At the end of the year, I'll be giving you guys a list of shows that I loved watching and the lessons that I learned, because I'm deep like that when it comes to film, when it comes to watching shows and movies. I sit down and then I meditate. I pick up things that I've learned from the shows. And nowadays, actually, funny thing is, I don't watch just for fun. I watch them as a filmmaker because I went to film school. Now when I watch a show, I'm like, okay, the cinematography there, the character development, the storytelling, the writing on the show, how the characters are developed, how the characters are growing, the transitions. Like, it's crazy, but it's nice. I love it. I love it. So I have three shows that I really enjoyed this year, which is weird because I expected the list to be more, at least five, which just shows that they don't make shows that like they used to, Kitambo. They don't make shows like they used to. Please bring back 22 episode shows. Please bring back holiday episodes, like the Christmas episodes. Bring back the Christmas episodes, the Thanksgiving episodes. Bring back those episodes. That was elite TV. Like, I was even saying this. I was telling my friend the other day, the 90s and the 2000s, the early 2000s, especially from 2000 to 2010, that was the best era of TV. That was the best era of TV, because tell me why. I even canceled my Netflix subscription because I couldn't find anything interesting to watch on Netflix. I feel like I've exhausted everything that I found interesting on Netflix. So I'll get back when I find something interesting there. But now I canceled it because I'm back to watching shows that were created 20 years ago. The likes of the Vampire Diaries, shows that were created way back. So that's the vibe I'm on, which just shows that they don't create shows like they used to. Nowadays, you find that you wait for a whole year for a show to only come out with 6 episodes. Really? Guys, what's happening? Filmmakers, writers, what's happening? But I was reading it and some people are saying it's because a long time ago, 90s, 2000s, that was elite TV era. TV was TV. But because nowadays, TV is not TV like it was TV. Nowadays, streaming has changed the game. So I think that's the reason. But it shouldn't be. We are ready to watch 22 episodes. I want a show which has 22 episodes per season. We are ready. We are here to watch it. We are here for the stories. We are here for the storytelling, for the characters. But yeah, that's what I was thinking. Anyway, so I have three shows that changed something in me, that I learned something from them this year. So number three on my list. I'm gonna start from three and then two and then one. So number three on my list is The Blacklist. I watched The Blacklist at the beginning of the year, I think January, and yeah, that was an amazing show. When you say thriller, that's what we mean. That's what we mean. Raymond Reddington. Oh, what a character. That is one of the most elite characters in TV. One of the most. Raymond Reddington, that was such a powerful character. So from The Blacklist, from the character, actually Raymond Reddington, the first thing I learned from his character is that it's life's journey that matters, not the destination. It's life's journey that actually matters. It's actually how you live your life that matters, not how you'll end up, how you will die. Because many a times I feel like in life, we always think, when I leave this earth, when I die, we think about how the impact we leave when we are dead, how people will suffer when we die. But we actually don't think about how we are living out the life that we have right here. And that was Raymond Reddington. Spoiler alert. Sorry, I don't want to give you guys spoilers, but it relates to the point that I'm saying. So at the end of the series, Raymond dies, and he dies a brutal death, a death that I didn't expect Raymond Reddington to die that way. I didn't expect him to die in such a manner. Like, he was a soldier, he was a criminal. I expected him to die by the bullet. Like they say, you live by the bullet, you die by the bullet, right? So I expected Raymond to live like a soldier, to die like a soldier, but he died in a weird way, in a very weird way. So, but actually what I learned is, no, his death didn't actually have a meaning. His life is what had a meaning. How he lived his life. He lived a great life, man. That man lived a great life despite him being a criminal mastermind. It's how he lived his life that matters. Not the ending of his life, that didn't matter, but the life he lived, the way he lived his life, unapologetic, as a strong soldier, that's what matters. Because in life, we always have goals in life. There's a certain level of success we want to achieve, and we think that when you achieve that certain level of success, then you're going to be happy. Then life is going to be meaningful. But the moment you achieve that level of success, the goalpost moves further, because you want to achieve another thing that is higher. You want to go higher. So the goalpost always moves further and further and further. So you don't really get there. Success doesn't really have a destination. That's what I'm trying to say. It's the journey that matters, not how you get there. So how you live your life is what matters, and not the other thing, not how you die but it's the journey. The journey is the destination, actually. The journey is the destination. That's something I learned from Raymond Reddington. Another thing I learned from The Blacklist is that morality is not always black or white, man. That was a painful thing to learn. That morality is not always black or white. Because, case in point, Raymond Reddington was a criminal mastermind. He was number one on the FBI's most wanted list. But he was still a good person. He still worked with the FBI to catch other criminals. So you can't just put him in a box and say, okay, Raymond Reddington was a bad person because he was a criminal. He still had some good in him, right? He still had some good in him. Because many a times we view criminals as people who cause harm, people who are bad people. They're just bad. But I learned from watching The Blacklist that morality is not always black or white. And life generally is not always black and white, black or white. And I've learned that adulting has taught me that. Growing up, used to think life is just good or bad. You're either on the good side or on the bad side. There's no in between. But growing up is realizing that there's a lot of gray areas in life. There's a lot of gray zones. Real life exists in the gray zone. Judge situations. So I've learned to judge situations and not labels. I've learned to not look at things just in black and white. You just have to go further. Just dig deep. Step aside and just watch and judge situations well. And look at all the scenarios, all the things, all the situations. Don't look at things as black or white, because there's no one who's perfect. There's no one who's perfect in this life. Even the person who you think is the is 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 a saint, the pastors, those people, there's no one who's perfect, and it's okay. You might look at your pastor and say, my pastor can never do wrong in my eyes, but there's no one who is perfect. Everyone has their own mistakes. So morality is not always black or white. Someone might do something bad, but there's still something good in them. So that I learned from watching The Blacklist, because Raymond was a bad criminal, but he used to help other people when they're in trouble. He used to work with the US government to catch other criminals, and there was some good aspects in him as a person. So I've learned morality is not always black or white. Life generally is not always black or white. You just have to step back and look at situations in a more critical way, because real life exists in the gray zone. Nice. So another lesson that I learned from watching The Blacklist is outsmarting someone beats overpowering them. It's better to be smart than to be powerful. That I learned from Raymond Reddington. Raymond was such a smart guy. He was always 10 steps ahead. And I think that's how he escaped from the FBI for all those years, because he was on the FBI's most wanted list for over 10 years, and they never caught him. They never arrested him until he actually surrendered. Actually, the first scene of Blacklist season 1, the first scene actually is when he surrenders to the FBI, and they never caught him because he outsmarted them. FBI had all the power. They had all the power from the government, but Raymond Reddington outsmarted them. So outsmarting someone beats overpowering them. Be smart. Strive to be smart. Raymond always used manipulation. He used intel. He had intel on everyone, the government, the criminals. He had intel on everyone, and he used to use that intel against them. He used to work smart. By the time Raymond would pull a gun on you, that was his last card to pull. Literally, he didn't use force. By the way, Raymond Red rarely used force. He used psychology, manipulation, information. That, and by the time he pulled a gun, that was his last move. So intelligence wins battles, muscles can't. Strive to be smart. That's why there's one quote I usually live by also, is work smart, don't work hard. Work smart. If you work smart, the chances of you achieving success is higher than someone who works hard. So strive to work smart, because working smart means you have a plan, you have a strategy, you have a plan to achieve that success. Actually, I was seeing this on TikTok where someone was saying, we are especially now that we are almost ending 2025, now 2026 over here, what we are, 2026 is my year, the flow is yours. What were New Year resolutions? Because when a New Year comes in, we are always with, we want to make New Year resolutions, and it's not bad. Every year we make New Year resolutions, but I've come to learn. Someone says, I learned this on TikTok the other day. Someone said, start thinking 10 years, have a 10 year plan, have a 10 year strategy. Write a letter to your 2035 self. Where do you want to be in 10 years? Have a plan, be smart, strategize. Well, don't think next year, think 2035, think 10 years ahead. Where do you want to be in 10 years? So set your goals, in a 10-year plan. You get what I'm saying? Where do you see yourself actually? Not even where do you want to be in 10 years. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? And work towards that. Plan towards that. Strategize on that. So that's something also I learned. Be smart. By the way, power doesn't mean you're smart. That's why you see a lot of politicians. They have political advisors. Because being in power doesn't automatically mean you're smart. You need other people there trying to plan strategies for you. So strive to be the smartest person. Try to outsmart people, because that's going to get you far. It got Raymond that far. It really got him so far. So those are the three things I think I learned from The Blacklist. Three main things. I learned a lot of things, but I I circled them down to 3 points. So those are the three main things I learned from watching The Blacklist. And if you haven't watched The Blacklist, like me all these years, I watched it finally this year. This is your sign. I haven't given you a lot of spoilers. It's a nice one. It has 10 seasons. And trust me, it's going to keep you at the edge of your seat the entire 10 seasons. It's a nice watch. It's really a nice watch. I loved it. My favorite character, of course, Raymond Reddington and Tom Keen. I loved Tom Keen. I don't know. He was such a mysterious person in a freaking way. I loved Tom Keen and Raymond Reddington. So those are my favorite characters. And that's something I loved. And I loved watching The Blacklist. I really enjoyed it. So yeah, should really add it on your watch list. Okay, number what? Number two. Oh, the second show that I really loved watching this year and it's kind of changed my life. And my perspectives in a lot of things. So there was a between the number two and number one were highly contested. I wasn't sure if I should place my number two on number one and my number one on number two because they were created by the same person, and both of them I love them. I really enjoy them, but I decided to put this at number two because number one is special. If you're ready, if you're an avid listener of this podcast, you already know. By me just saying that they were created by the same person, you should already have an idea. So are you ready for my number two, drum rolls. So the second show, Grey's Anatomy. Oh, I love Grey's Anatomy, and it's crazy how I've never watched Grey's Anatomy all these years. Funny thing, Grey's Anatomy, the first episode of Grey's Anatomy premiered 20 years ago. That was in 2005. And look at me here watching it 20 years later. How crazy is that? That just shows you how that show is good because it's timeless. Not all shows that were created 20 years ago you can actually watch now. Not all shows. That was a timeless show. That's why we should strive to create timeless shows. Even me, that's one thing I learned from Grey's Anatomy. As a filmmaker, I want to strive, as an upcoming filmmaker, I want to strive to create timeless shows. Something that someone can watch 20 years later and still relate from it. And something that someone can watch 20 years later and still learn and still enjoy, actually. That is some powerful thing. Man, and it was created by Shonda Rhimes, man. Shonda Rhimes will forever be goated. How can you create a show how can I watch a show that was created 20 years ago and I can still actually relate to it and I can still actually enjoy it? That's got it, man. Shout out to Shonda. So Grey's Anatomy is my number two. Funny how it premiered 20 years ago when I was 7 years old. In 2005, I was 7 years old. How crazy is that? I was in kindergarten. MSG. I was in class two. I was just a baby. And look at me here, a fully fledged adult 20 years later. I'm 27 years now and I've actually watched Grey's Anatomy when I'm 27. How crazy is that? And I don't even regret it because I feel like my mind is fully developed. My frontal lobe has fully developed. I now fully understand it. But that's why it's nice to the shows that you watch when you are a kid, when you are a child. It's nice to rewatch them as an adult. You just watch them with a new perspective because your mind has developed. You know, it's nice to watch them. You just learn a lot of things, a lot of new things that you never noticed as a kid. So Grey's Anatomy, wow, where should I start, man? I loved. Actually, I've not finished watching it. I just finished watching season 11 and I put a pause because I bawled my eyes out. Those who have watched Grey's Anatomy know, if you've reached season 11, you know, they killed off my favorite character. Why? I bawled my eyes out yesterday. I actually finished watching Grey's Anatomy season 11 yesterday and I bawled. I cried. I've put a pause on it. I'm still digesting the fact that they killed off my main character. But I still have to continue watching it because it has 22 seasons and it's still running. How crazy is that? It's still running. That just shows how big that show is. So number one, the first thing that I learned from Grey's Anatomy is you are the sun. You are the sun. If you are a fan of Grey's, you already know who said this line. You are the sun. The famous Christina Yang told Meredith Grey, you are the sun, which basically means know your worth. man, which is very important. Sometimes, at times in life, we actually always forget. We lose ourselves in life, we lose ourselves in people, and we forget who we are, we forget our worth, So this I learned from Christina Yang. So you and I actually related to this point a lot, because many times we lose ourselves, especially in work. Yeah, when it comes to negotiating deals, you just want to get you just want to be paid, and you forget how to negotiate. You know your worth, you don't know your worth, so you don't know how to negotiate some deals when it comes to work. So they end up exploiting you. Also in relationships, sometimes you lose yourself in relationships. Your goals don't matter. What actually matters are your partner's goals. You put your life on hold for your partner to achieve their dreams, and that happened. Did you see the story of Meredith and Derek? That was something that really happened, especially when it comes to career. You put your life on hold, your career on hold, and then you want to, because your partner wants to achieve some things. Also in friendship, so know your worth. You are the sun. It basically means you don't have to shrink yourself for anyone, not even your partner, not even your husband, not for love, not for friendship, not for work. You don't have to shrink yourself for anyone. You are allowed to take up space. Know your worth. You are allowed to take up space because you are the sun. Ah, that was a nice line, man. That was a nice line. I'll take it with me forever in my entire life. Another thing that I learned from Grey's Anatomy is have some fire. Be unstoppable. Be freaking unstoppable. And again, this I learned from Christina Yang. Actually, it's crazy how Christina Yang's entire personality is a lesson. It's a lesson. And it's weird how I never actually loved her character when I started watching Grey's. I felt like she was kind of mean. She was kind of mean. But when I got to season 6, season 7, I started understanding her. I started getting her. And I was actually watching a certain podcast called Her Daddy. I think that's right. The host, Alex, she hosted, she actually interviewed Shonda Rhimes, the creator of Grey's Anatomy. And she asked Shonda, which character on Grey's do you find most relatable with? Which character do you relate most with on Grey's Anatomy? And Shonda Rhimes said, Christina Yang. So I watched that interview before I started watching Grey's Anatomy. So when I started watching Grey's Anatomy, I was like, so this is the character Shonda relates with? How? Why? But 6 seasons in, I started understanding why Shonda actually related to Christina Yang, because Christina was ambitious without apology. She was ambitious without apology. She wanted big things for herself, and she wouldn't let anyone come stop her from achieving that. She wouldn't let anyone come between her and her dreams, her and her career. She wanted to be a great surgeon, and she became that. She became that. She was not afraid of her dream. She didn't even let any man hold her down. She told back me, I don't want kids. I don't want to be pregnant. She told Owen, I don't want kids. I don't want to be pregnant. They're gonna hold me back. There's some things I want to achieve. There, I have my dreams. And she became unstoppable. She knew what she wanted, and she never apologized for it. She went after them with her whole chest. And that's something I learned from Christina Yang. Be unstoppable. Know what you want and go after them with your whole chest. Don't even apologize for it. Don't be sorry for having big dreams. And I feel like this is something a lot of women we actually go through a lot. Sometimes we feel like we have to shrink ourselves to accommodate other people, especially men. We want to shrink ourselves to accommodate. If Christina wasn't Christina, she would have compromised on her dreams when she was pregnant, when Owen wanted her to get pregnant. She would have compromised on her dreams and said, okay, let me just settle. Let me put my dreams on hold. Let me settle. She didn't settle, man. Never settle. When they say never settle, never settle. Go for what you want, man. And if someone is not ready to accommodate your dreams, that's not actually the right person for you. So that's something I learned from Christina Yang. Have some fire. Be unstoppable. Okay? Don't shrink yourself for anyone. Do not shrink yourself for anyone. Another lesson I learned from Grey's Anatomy, from watching Grey's Anatomy, is pain shapes you, but it doesn't define you. And it should not even define you. Pain shapes you, but it doesn't define you. For everyone who has watched Grey's Anatomy, we all know. Grey's Anatomy is basically a masterclass in grief. Grey's is a masterclass in grief. I'm telling you, that movie will take you on an emotional roller coaster. That movie will take you on an emotional roller coaster. You're gonna cry. Your favorite character is gonna be killed off, and you're gonna cry. You're gonna stop watching the show, and then you're gonna go back to watching the show, and you're gonna find another favorite character who's gonna be killed off again, and then you're gonna cry. It's full of so much loss and grief. So it taught us, what I learned from Grey is that it taught us you don't get over loss. You actually just learn to live with it, and that's okay. And that's okay. I think I mentioned this many years ago on this podcast when I was talking about losing my mom and how you actually never get over losing a parent and even a loved one. You never get over losing a loved one. You just learn how to live with it, and it's okay. So you should. I just learned that pain shapes, but it doesn't have to define you. Don't surround yourself through that pain. Another thing I learned from Gage is that you have to walk through the pain. Don't run away from it. Don't go around it. Walk through the pain, feel it, be in the moment, feel it, and then learn to live with it. Because, man, Grey's has a lot of terrible losses. Your favorite character is going to die. Let me just give you a spoiler. That favorite character of yours is going to die. And it's going to be painful. And the series is going to go on. So you don't get over loss. You just learn how to live with it. And that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Another lesson I learned from Grey's is, you are allowed to outgrow people. You are actually allowed to outgrow people, whether it comes to friendships, it comes to relationships. You are allowed to outgrow people. Another thing adulting has taught me is some friendships are meant to be seasonal. You see how when I was young, I used to think when I have a friend, I used to even think my childhood friends are going to be my lifetime friends, which is crazy. So that when we break up, especially, you know, friendship breakups, how friendship breakups are the most, they're more painful than heartbreaks. So sometimes when I lost my friends, I used to beat myself up and think of myself, I'm a bad friend. I can't keep my friends. Why can't I keep my friends? But I had to learn the hard way that you outgrow friendships. You have to outgrow friendships. And it's not bad. It's not bad to outgrow friendships. It's not bad to outgrow people. That means that you're growing. Those people are meant to be in your life at a certain time in your life for a certain period. And that's okay. And that's okay. That's something you need to learn the hard way. Some, especially friendships and people, even relationships, you're allowed to outgrow people. And you can just outgrow people and still be in good terms. That doesn't mean that you have to now be in bad terms. So sometimes love is not enough. Growth matters and peace matters. That was especially from Carly and Arizona, the relationship you could see from the relationship in Grey's Anatomy. They got married. They had a lot of things. They had a lot of stuff going on between them. They started working on their marriage. They even went to therapy. But things just didn't work out. They tried therapy, but things just didn't work out. They tried dating other people. Things just didn't work out. And then they had to just learn and see, okay, it's time. Our marriage is over. We have outgrown each other. And it's okay. And it's okay. So you are allowed to outgrow people. I don't feel bad about it. That's life, man. That's life. It means that you're growing. Yeah? The last thing I learned from Grey's is fear is good because it actually means you have something to lose. That was deep. That was nice. Fear is good because it means you have something to lose. Which is, I don't know, is it Meredith who said this when she was narrating one episode? Yeah, which is nice because sometimes we are always scared to be scared. Right? We are scared to be scared. We are scared to admit that we are scared. And it's good to be fearful. It's good to have that fear. It means that, this thing, it means that thing that is scaring you, it means a lot to you. That's why there's a quote they say, if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough, right? So if something scares you, that means it means a lot to you. That means that you have a lot to lose. That means that that thing is really important. And I always say this, when you're scared, that's when you jump. When you feel like you're scared, that's when you jump. That's when you dive deep. That's when you go, because the outcome is gonna be worth it. When something scares you, it means that something big is gonna come out of it. So don't be scared to be scared. Don't be scared to admit that you're scared. Fear is good, man. Fear is actually good. It means that you have something to lose. So embrace fear. Let's embrace fear. It's part of life. It's part of chasing dreams. It's part of chasing big things. It's part of chasing big things. And it means that the outcome is, it's going to impress you. So embrace fear. Let's embrace fear, because fear is good. So those are some, the most important lessons I learned from Grey's. I've actually not finished watching it, which means I still have a lot of things to learn, because I finished season 11 yesterday, so I have to start season 12. But I'm not yet starting it, because I'm still mourning my favorite character. Oh, I'm still coming to terms with it. So yeah, those are the key pointers, the things that I learned from Grey's Anatomy, and it's such a nice watch. If you have never watched Grey's Anatomy all these years like me, I envy you, in fact, because you're about to enjoy the best era of TV. Oh man, Grey's is good. It's a nice show. I feel like I have to rewatch it. After finishing it, I have to rewatch it, because, by the way, I love rewatching my favorite shows, because when you rewatch shows, you just learn a lot. You notice things that you never noticed when you were watching it the first time. You learn a lot of things that you never actually learned when you're watching it the first time. So yeah, I love rewatching shows. So yeah, if you've never watched Grey's Anatomy, baby, this is your sign. It's I promise you, you're gonna enjoy it. My favorite character. Okay, my favorite character. Derek, kill me. I shall not tolerate. I was seeing my TikTok algorithm today, actually. There are people who are trying to slander Derek's character. I'm like, no, Derek Shepherd's, no slander shall be tolerated on Derek Shepherd. That's my favorite character. And I love the relationship with Meredith. That's my favorite ship on Grey's, Meredith and Grey. Ah, they're forever gutted. That's the best love story on TV. Come fight me. I love them. So yeah, that's Grey's for you. Number one, my favorite show of the year. Let's see. Are you ready? If you an avid listener of this podcast, you already know this show, because I mentioned it a couple of episodes ago, how I was watching it and how I actually thought it was my favorite. So number one, my favorite show of the year. Are you ready? Drum rolls. SCANDAL. Scandal. Oh, Scandal is my favorite show of the year. Actually, it was also created by Shonda Rhimes. Man, Shonda is a god. Shonda is a god. Being her two shows being on my top three, that's something. That's something. So Scandal is my favorite show of the year. Number one, because it saved me. Scandal saved me, man. It's actually funny, because Scandal also premiered, how many years ago? 2011, if I'm not wrong. Something like 2011. So, yeah. You see how the early 2000s, those were the best era of TV. And I mean that vibe, by the way. I mean that vibe. Those are the kind of things I'm watching right now. After Grey's Anatomy, I haven't watched Desperate Housewives. I have Desperate Housewives. I have Pretty Little Liars. I have Sex and the City. Those are the vibe. That's the kind of vibe I'm on, because I feel like those shows are forever gotten. The writing was nice. So Scandal. Oh, Scandal saved me. I feel like it's number one, because I was thinking between Grey's Anatomy and Scandal, which one is my favorite, because they're both Shonda Rhimes show. So I was like, but Scandal made it to my number one, because it saved me, because I actually watched Scandal at the time when I was going through a lot in my life, and it saved me. You see, by the way, one way I cope when I'm going through a lot is I find a nice show. Let me teach you guys a lesson. If you're coping with something, just find a nice show. Life will make sense. Life just makes sense when you find a nice show to binge. You just forget your problems and just immerse yourself in the world of these characters. And life just makes sense. life that, and that's why I love TV. I love shows, and that's but actually, I'm not a movies fan. I rarely watch movies. I only watch movies maybe when I go to a cinema. I just watch movies once in a while. But I'm a series lover. I am a fan of shows. That's why I love a show that has 22 episodes, because I can stay up the all night and just binge it. So that's why I love Scandal. I watched it at a time when I was going through a lot. My life was in the pits and I just wanted to forget my problems. So I was like, let me look for a show. Let me just find a nice show and forget about my problems. And that show was Scandal for me. It saved me. It actually saved me. I forgot about my problems. And I actually got through what I was going through. So that's why Scandal is actually my number one. It saved me. It saved me. Because, yeah. Yeah. The worst week of my year this year, it was the worst week. And if I hadn't watched Scandal, I probably would have been depressed. So, number one, the first thing that I learned from Scandal is that power is who you are. Power is who you are. Who you are is your power. And this is, actually, I can remember who said this, like, Eli Pope, Olivia Pope's dad, he's done. He was telling Jake, if I'm not wrong, power is who you are. Who you are is your power. And I feel like I actually related. I love this statement. It was such a powerful statement, because especially in this era of social media, a lot of people forget who they are. A lot of people forget who they are, and a lot of people are not ready to embrace who they are. This social media actually is not a real place, you guys. We keep saying that, and people don't take it seriously. Social media is not a real place. People forget who they are in social media. People actually nowadays strive to create aesthetically pleasing content. Everyone is all about the aesthetics. Everyone wants to create UGC content, aesthetically pleasing content. And really, life isn't as aesthetic as people show it on social media. Life is real. Kwa ground vitu ni different. Kwa ground vitu ni different. So, with that social media perspective, people kind of forget who they are, because you have sort of created that image of who you are on social, of who you want people to see you as on social media. And really, when you dig deep, that's not actually who you are. So that statement reminded me that who you are is actually your power. Your uniqueness is your power. Your uniqueness is your power. Those aesthetics, not everyone's life is all about aesthetics. There's reality, there's aesthetics, and there's reality. And that's why, Squeezy, there's this outburst of everyone wanting to be an influencer. Where did that come from? It's coming from all these aesthetics things. Everyone wants to be, now that's the career people want to take, being an influencer. Where are we going as a generation? Everyone wants to be an influencer. And there's more to life than influencing, than social media. There's a lot of careers past social media. So yeah, that's something that really has to hold you, that who you are is your power. Embrace who you are. That uniqueness, who you are is your power. Because there's never gonna be anyone in the world like you. You'll never find anyone in the world like you. So embrace who you are, and who you are is your power. Your uniqueness, that's what makes you who you are. Embrace it. That was a powerful lesson from Eli Pope's monologue. Will forever be goated. Eli Pope's monologue will forever be goated. So that's the first thing I learned from Scandal. The second thing I learned from Scandal is that trauma shapes you. Trauma shapes your behavior, but healing is your responsibility. Healing is your responsibility. If you're ready, if you've watched Scandal, you already know which character I'm relating to with this. So if you Nini Hack's character. If you watch Scandal, you know Hack. So Hack was deeply traumatized. The things that he had gone through from B613 affected him. They really affected him, and he didn't know. So he used to go on a killing rampage, just killing anyone, right, left, and center. And he didn't know that his behavior was coming from a traumatic experience until his friends told him, until he actually had to acknowledge it, until he started working on himself and started healing. That's when he worked on himself and became a good person. So sometimes I feel like we don't work on our traumas. When we say heal your inner child, we are not joking. We are not joking. You actually need to heal your inner child, especially childhood traumas. Childhood traumas can haunt you. Hey, they can destroy your adulthood life. If you don't work on your childhood traumas, they can destroy your adulthood life. You have to work. You have to work on your childhood traumas. They can destroy you. So that's why therapy, you don't have to. Therapy is underrated. You have to go to therapy. You have to actually go to therapy and work on yourself. And just not going on to therapy. You know, you can go to therapy and not work on yourself. You have to go to therapy. You have to acknowledge the trauma, the problem. You have to work on it. You have to acknowledge it and then work on it. So trauma shapes your behavior, because if you don't work on your traumas, they're going to affect your relationships. They're going to affect your work. They're going to affect your friendships. They're gonna affect your life. You have to work on your traumas. You really have to work on your traumas, because they shape your behavior, and you have to work on healing your traumas, healing your inner child. In fact, you can even monetize your traumas. I always tell people, monetize your traumas. That traumatic experience that you have, work on it, monetize it. I always even say therapy is a career of monetizing traumas. You have to monetize. If you can monetize your traumas, because once you acknowledge, okay, this thing happened to me, and then you work on it, you can help other people work on their traumatic experiences. That's you monetizing your traumas. So acknowledge you have your traumas, because they're there. Just look for them. They're there. No matter small, however small they are, they're there. Look for them, acknowledge them, and work on healing them, because healing is your responsibility. Another lesson I learned from watching Scandal is your voice is your power. Your voice is your power. Use your voice. And this is my favorite character, by the way, from Scandal is Mailie Grant. And I actually love Mailie. I rewatched Scandal. Rewatching Scandal is realizing that Mailie suffered a lot in the hands of Fitzgerald, the president. Rewatching Scandal is realizing that Mailie didn't even rant enough. Mailie deserved to rant enough, because Fitz treated Mailie so badly. Fitz hated Mailie, and he treated her so badly, and Mailie suffered in the hands of Fitz. And I learned that. So, and the moment Mailie started speaking up for herself, oh, that's when she became so powerful. She spoke up to herself all the way to the State House and became the all the way to the White House, not State House, all the way to the White House and became the first female president of the United States. That's how you realize your voice is your power. She stopped putting up with Fitz crap and spoke up, and she stood up for herself and she spoke up for herself. In fact, my favorite era of watching Scandal was the Mailie and Olivia duo. You remember that combo when Mailie and Olivia collaborated when they worked together on Mailie's campaign? That was my favorite era of Scandal. The Mailie and Olivia popped duo. Oh, that was the best era of Scandal. So I learned that, man, your voice is your power. You have to say what you want out loud. Mailie said, I want the White House. And she didn't stop at anything until she got to the White House. Claim your space. Speak up. Speak up for what you want. Because from Mailie Grant's character, we learned that women are often underestimated. Fitz underestimated Mailie. He never thought that Mailie would make a good president. And Mailie was actually a better president than Fitz. Kill me. Fight me. Mailie was actually a better president than Fitz. Fitz was all about Olivia. He didn't care about the White House. He didn't care about his kids, his family. He only cared about Olivia Pope. But Mailie was the best. She was a better president than Fitz. So your voice is your power. Claim your power, man. Claim your space. You don't know how speaking up for yourself can actually change your life and even someone else's life. So that was a powerful message from watching Scandal. And then lastly, what I learned from watching Scandal was wear the white hat. If you watch Scandal, you know where this phrase comes from. Olivia Pope loved saying it. And it basically means do the right thing even when it's hard. Because sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. Even when watching Scandal, Olivia, sometimes it was hard for her to do the right thing. Because, you know, politics is a dirty game. Watching Scandal is realizing that politics is not what you think it is. politics is not what we think it is. Politics is way messier, way dirtier. It's so messy. So, and it gets to your head. Power actually gets to your head. It got to Olivia's head until she lost her way. She went on a dark path. And if not for her friends pulled her back. Because politics, it's messy. It's messy. And power gets to your head, actually. So you have to constantly remind yourself to do the right thing, even when it's hard. Do the right thing even when it's hard. Integrity is a daily decision, not a personality trait. You have to wake up and decide to do the right thing, even when it's hard. Wear the white hat. So those are the lessons I learned from watching Scandal. I loved Scandal, man. I've rewatched it. I watched it and rewatched it. And I loved it. I've learned a lot from it. And it's definitely my favorite show of the year because it saved my life. It changed my perspective on a lot of things. The writing on Scandal was amazing. What? Shonda? Shonda made it to my mentors list this year. As a filmmaker, as an upcoming filmmaker, and as a writer, she's my mentor, man. And I say that. She's my mentor. I hope maybe I meet her someday or maybe I work with her on one of her projects because that's nice. That writing is powerful. Imagine being able to create shows that change people's life, create shows that saves people. Now that's power right there. That's God. That's being a God right there. So yeah, those are my top three shows that, yeah, they did something to me this year. They did something to me. And I hope you add them to your watch list because, man, I have good taste. I have good taste when it comes to shows, to series. I have good taste. So trust my taste. When I tell you these shows are amazing, they are amazing. Start watching them because, yeah, I love them. So, yeah, I hope you've learned something from this amazing episode and I hope you really watch them. I would love to know what are you guys watching? Give me a list because it's December. It's the holidays. I just want to be in the house and just to watch and watch and watch. And please tell me if you've watched these shows, what have you actually learned from them? And if there, please share with me. Anyway, I hope to see you on the next episode. The next episode is actually the last episode of this year because, man, I'm exhausted and let's end the year already, right? I hope you've enjoyed. I hope you've learned and I'll see you on the next episode. Adios.